Is your Christianity working? Do you struggle with the same sins you struggled with before you got saved? Today you can learn how to overcome those very struggles. Welcome to Speak to Me with Bible teacher Billy Pruitt. Today Billy's going to teach us why Christians don't overcome and how we can overcome. Let's get started.
Welcome to Speak to Me. I am glad that you're joining with us because today I have a subject that we're going to talk about that I'm very excited about, and I believe it's one that's going to minister to you because it has already ministered to other people. And what we're going to do today, we're going to dive into a question that I think has been on a lot of people's minds, and I've formed it into a question that's going to be relevant for us today on the radio broadcast. Here's the question. Is your Christianity working? I think that we have all observed individuals that they profess to be Christians, but a lot of times they may speak with intense profanity. They may drink alcoholic beverages. They may tell lies. They may gossip, slander. They may lust, look at pornography, all kinds of different things that may be going on in their lives. And you wonder this simple question, is your Christianity working? They talk about being a Christian. They talk about going to church. They talk about all of these things. But at the same time, all of this is going on in their lives. And a lot of times we want to look at that and say, you know, how can a Christian do these things? But the reality of this is that there may be multiple reasons as to why a person may behave this way and still profess themselves to be a Christian. And today we're going to look at these, not in any kind of way of bringing condemnation, but in a way to bring help. Because I do believe in the power of God. I believe in the power of God to set people free from all of the various things that are going on in their lives. And we're going to ask some questions today that I believe are going to help people. If you are the person that's looking at somebody else, you may have the tools to actually help them overcome those problems. And if you're one of those persons that seemingly just can't seem to get rid of something out of your life that you know shouldn't be there, then hopefully this will give you a tool by which you can kind of grapple with that issue and maybe have victory that you've been looking for a long time. So we're going to go ahead and get started. And I want to just ask you, really, today's whole lesson is going to be based on four questions. And we'll go ahead and get started with the first question. The first question is, are you really saved? Well, several weeks ago on this program, Speak to Me, we talked about this question and we utilized some of the history from John Calvin, John Wesley, Charles Finney, and some other people that we read some of their historical writings about this subject, are you really saved? And they had some very interesting insights, and if you'd like to get a copy of that program, you can. But today, we're going to abbreviate this portion because we talked about it at length so much the last time. But basically, In your dealings with people who are Christians, there's two categories of people. There are people who are true indeed Christians, and then there are people who claim to be Christians who've never really been saved from the beginning. And the question is this: could this possibly be you? You may remember a time that you went up to it for an altar call and you prayed and you may remember repenting of your sins, and you may even remember praying a sinner's prayer. But the thing is, what if there was something wrong in the mix that prevented you from truly being a converted person and receiving Christ? I knew a man one time. He was addicted to alcohol and drugs. In fact, he was such an alcoholic that he completely destroyed his family and his wife and kids. Everything was just a mess. To make a long story short, he wound up being a homeless man living in the woods, and that's where he was when I met him. But two things about this man stood out. First, he believed that he was a saved person. And second, he believed that there was nothing wrong with the life that he was leading right at that moment. In fact, to put an exclamation mark on this, he came to our church and he was talking to me about the finer points of communion, and he said he'd like to discuss it, and he told me, he said, yeah, and I hope that we can get together one time and discuss this over a beer. And of course, you know, I don't drink. So for me, I said, well, no, I'm not going to do that. But the point is that he thought that was completely fine. And maybe he was trying to set me up for something. But nevertheless, he had a testimony of salvation. He had a testimony. He even said that he had received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. But yet something was very clearly wrong in his life. The thing is this, we don't know what's going on in people's lives. We really don't. We don't know when we meet them. We don't know what's going on. But one question that we have to ask ourselves as well as around those around us, are you really saved? Am I really saved? Am I a saved person? Has God, the Holy Spirit, entered into my life to bring changes and to bring victory over sin and all of those things? We have to be honest and ask this question. And I present the scenario of somebody who goes to the altar and they pray, but they're not fully committed to what they're praying. They may be sincere. They want to be forgiven, but they don't necessarily want Jesus to be the boss. They don't want Jesus to be the Lord. And so they submit to the forgiveness part of the prayer, but in reality, they don't have any plans of making real changes in their life. And that formula does not work. It does not bring conversion. Anyway, if you'd like to hear more about that, let us know. Give us an email or give us a phone call, and we'll be happy to give you more information about this possibility of a false conversion. Well, if a person has a false conversion, obviously they're not going to have the Holy Spirit dwelling within them. They're not going to have the power of the grace of God that changes their lives. And so, of course, they're going to be able to have the same old bad habits they had before, the profanity, the drinking, the lies, the gossip, slander, lust. All of these things are going to be going on because they've never been converted from the beginning. And they've tried to live their Christianity by the arm of flesh, and it just simply doesn't work. So if you are a person that you're having some of these things in your life and you can't seem to get rid of them, one of the first things that you need to do is examine your conversion, your salvation experience. The second question that I want to ask is similar to the first question, but with just a little bit of a different slant. The question is this: are you a backslider? You know, there's a lot of people who may have had a genuine conversion experience someplace in the past in their lives, but have through one circumstance or another circumstance, they have slid to the place that they're no longer serving the Lord like they used to. And so I like to ask this question now. You may have been saved one time, but are you saved now? See, I believe there are many professing Christians that have allowed their relationship with Jesus to just gradually slip away to the point that they didn't even realize that he's gone. You might say, wait a minute, how can this happen? Well, I want to share with you today a story from the Bible that demonstrates very clearly that it can happen and that and how it can happen. And this story is the story of Samson. Now, if you remember Samson, Samson is one of the most heroic figures in the Bible. I mean, every child in Sunday school, when they go to Sunday school and they begin to learn about Samson, and they learn about him carrying the gates, and they learn about him tearing the lion apart with his bare hands and killing all of the Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey, those stories are so mighty and powerful stories. And Samson is the person that's doing this. And if you read the Bible, you're going to find that the way he was able to do this, the Bible very specifically says, it's in Judges 13:25, that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. It was through the power of the Spirit that Samson was able to do these things. Samson did not regard this gift, however. It's an amazing gift to have the Spirit of the Lord come upon you, and Samson did not regard that gift. In fact, Samson is listed three times as having had the Spirit of the Lord come upon him in this kind of power. Samson was also a man who had made a Nazarite vow from the time he was born, never to cut his hair, and he had made that Nazarite vow and had grown up in that vow. His family had made sure that he was deeply devoted and deeply understood the ways of God. But nevertheless, when Samson's life became, when he became older, he did not regard the gift. He was stubborn. He did whatever he wanted to do. And after he began to commit some sins, his life began to go downhill. And if you look in Judges chapter 16, verse 20, the Bible has a sentence there that is just downright startling. It says this: and he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. He didn't even know it. The Lord had departed from him, and he did not even know that it had happened. Well, I believe that there are many people that sit on church pews every Sunday that know not that the Lord has departed from them. They're sitting there. They don't even know. They do not even recognize that the Lord has departed from them. They have refused to be corrected. They've justified their own sins in one way or another. They may have been selectively obedient rather than fully obedient. But in the end, they have allowed what once was real to disintegrate away, and the Lord left. Is this you? Were you once clean? Second Peter chapter 2, verse 19 says, "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning." That is just an amazing scripture, because we see this in real life. We see people, they come to the altar, they get saved, they give their heart to the Lord, they are sincere, and at least everything on the outside, everything that we can observe about the person, it seems sincere. They begin to come to church, they begin to read their Bible, they're fascinated by the things of God, and then you look at their life years later, and they're not doing those things anymore. In fact, they're doing some of the things that they used to do back in the world. In fact, maybe in a lot of people's lives, they're even worse than they were when they started off. This is the story of the backslider. Now, if you feel that you're a backslider, there is still hope for you if you return to the Lord with all of your heart. The book of Hosea teaches us that God is willing to receive you again if you turn to Him. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. That's verse 1 of Hosea chapter 14. Have you fallen by your iniquity? You can still return to God. God says this, "I will heal their backsliding." That's Hosea 14, verse 4. And He can heal yours too. Now, I want to move on to our third question. Our third question is very simply this. Have you made an unholy alliance? This is a really, really big issue in the modern day, and people make unholy alliances all the time. The Bible speaks very clearly about alliances, particularly in the nation of Israel, and we don't all the time think of this as Christian believers, but it is possible for us to make an unholy alliance in the modern day that will disrupt our Christianity and cause it not to work properly. Many people don't realize how absolutely critical it is to be separated unto Christ as Lord. Jesus said, "No man can serve two masters." That's in Luke 16:13. Now, Jesus was specifically talking about money in that passage, but the principle holds true in other areas as well. Paul teaches the same thing in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. He says, "Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." Now, does this mean that God will not receive you if you fail to separate? Well, it surely must, because it says here, "If you touch not the unclean thing, I will receive you." So if you are touching the unclean thing, then you cannot be received. This is a major concern for many professing believers today, and because many people in the church are touching unclean things. When a person becomes connected to something that is unclean, this is what I call an unholy alliance. Now, an unholy alliance can come in many ways, and I want to share with you some of the more common examples, and there may be other examples that I'm not going to mention, but one of the most common examples that you see in the church is when you have a saved, holy person who joins themselves with a relationship, a romantic relationship, with somebody who is not a saved, holy person. This is one of the ones that is always talked about, preached about. We have to make sure that we understand that when an unsaved person and a saved person come together, that is an unholy alliance. And it's something that's very, very scary. The Bible specifically speaks of this in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 13. Paul warns, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness?" Now, this can be more than just a dating relationship or a marriage relationship. This does not even mention the word marriage in this passage at all. It just says simply, "Be not unequally yoked." Well, if you're not going to be unequally yoked at all, that would include the dating, that would include marriage, that would include business, that would include friendship. This includes any kind of human relationship that we can come into. And the thing is when we come into a relationship with somebody who is unholy, somebody who is unsanctified, somebody who is not a saved person, and they're not living right before the Lord, we've made an unholy alliance. Now, if you are married to an unbeliever, the Bible is very clear that you are not allowed to leave based on the Bible. Once you have married an unbeliever, you are to stay there. In fact, the Bible is very clear on that. Your alliance may have started off as unholy, but when you became legally married, your marriage is honorable before God. You can look in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 14. You need to stay where you are. You need to repent of the sinful way that you got started, and then you need to trust God to help you endure whatever comes. But if you are in an unholy alliance that's a dating relationship, a friendship, a business, or anything like that, that's not a marriage, there's one word for you. Get out. You need to get out now. The Bible is very clear that as long as you are united to somebody in an unequally yoked relationship, you are touching the unclean thing. And as long as you are touching the unclean thing, that is detrimental to your relationship with God and ultimately fatal. And so you have to make sure you get out of that relationship. Every relationship that you have that is bringing you down in the faith, you need to get out of that relationship. And that is the word of the Lord. Now, there's another way in which you can make an unholy alliance. And one of those ways is to do so by befriending people who are false teachers. The Bible is very clear about this as well. There are false teachers. In Romans chapter 16, verse 17, the Bible says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them." Did you hear that? And avoid them. We're supposed to mark these people and avoid them. These are the directives of the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans. Now, if you choose to ignore this teaching, you are making an unholy alliance with somebody who teaches falsely. And this is very, very serious, because once you make this unholy alliance, it will directly affect your relationship with God. There's no question that it will, and it'll cause you to stumble. It'll cause you to be in a bad situation, and it's a situation that's completely avoidable if you follow the scriptures that says mark these individuals and avoid them. And we're going to talk about this more in the future, I'm sure. But nevertheless, this is a very important thing, because there are false teachers around us. There are cults. There are people of other religions. And we have to make sure that we keep ourselves separate from those individuals spiritually and in relationships, because that's something that will directly bring conflict in our relationship with God. Another way that some people make unholy alliances is when they become members of organizations that require pledges of loyalty. There are all kinds of organizations that require pledges of loyalty. There are clubs, gangs, there are secret societies, all kinds of different things. And these organizations require that you have an oath that you must make in order for you to be part of their organization. You're obligated to perform your duties as outlined in that oath. But Jesus warned against these kinds of pledges. If you want to look it up, it's in Matthew chapter 5, verse 34 through 37. And so does the book of James. James says this, "But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea and your nay nay, lest ye fall into condemnation." Did you see that? You can fall into condemnation if you're making oaths. And it's very, very important that you stay away from this, because if you're making an oath that puts you in a situation where you are under authority of somebody on the earth, then you're putting yourself in a direct path of condemnation. It says, if you do these things, it says, lest ye fall into condemnation. So beware of that. It's very important. I want to move on to our fourth question. And this one is very interesting to me, because it's one that has surfaced pretty often in the things that I've seen. It's this question. Do you have a stronghold? Several years ago, I was introduced to the biblical truth that I intend to share with you concerning spiritual strongholds. Paul says, "Neither give place to the devil." That's in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27. Well, what happens if you do? What happens if you do open yourself up to the devil's schemes? What happens if you do give place? Well, I believe that if you give the devil a place in your life, he will establish a stronghold. A stronghold is a military term meaning a fortress. Let me explain how this works. God honors legal transactions. For instance, if I take something that is yours, then I am guilty of stealing. However, if I purchase it from you, I can take it without being guilty. Why? Because I bought it. It's a legal transaction. The transaction makes it legally. It was yours. Now it is legally mine. It belongs to me. Now that it is mine, if you come and take it back, you are guilty of stealing, even though it was yours only just a few minutes ago. God honors legal transactions. Now, as a believer, when you open the door to the devil through sin, you give him the legal right to be there. Many people don't realize this. Ephesians 4:27, when it says, give not place, it says, neither give place to the devil. Within the context of anger there, makes it very clear that if you give place to the devil in your life, that he's going to come in and make a stronghold. I believe that this principle extends to areas other than anger as well. If you do, then he will endeavor to build a military fortress to keep what he has been given by you. You gave it to him, and he is going to try to keep it. Now, it is unfortunate, I believe, but believers often open themselves up to problems like this. They set themselves up for strongholds. Jesus said, "Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." If you make yourself vulnerable by committing sin, you will become entangled. The book of Proverbs, chapter 5, verse 22 says, "His own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins." Those are both interesting passages. The idea is that if we go into sin, if we set ourselves to do something that's wrong, then all of a sudden we find ourselves that we are the servant to that sin. Well, this sounds a lot like addictions. This sounds a lot like things that are repeated in our lives that we can't seem to get rid of. The book of Proverbs says that we're holding with the cords. I mean, there's cords wrapped around us and we can't get free. Well, that's it. Are you being held by the cords of your sins? Maybe you have some stronghold that has never been broken. Maybe there's something going on in your life that you've never been able to be free of, and maybe it's because there could be a stronghold in your life. In this study, I'm only going to mention a few ways that the strongholds work, but just to give you an overview and idea. Lust is a common stronghold that many people in this day and age have. Unfortunately, believers are susceptible to this just as the people in the world are, and many believers recognize that the problem of lust is so big that they actually just take it as a fact of life. James teaches us how this works. He says this, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." That's in James chapter 1, verses 14 through 15. You see, the object of the devil is to kill you, and he will attempt to do that through lust, just like anything else. And if you have committed the sin of lust, if you are living in the sin of lust, whether it be something that's outward and everybody can see it, or whether you are keeping it secret and hidden from everybody, however you're living your life, if lust is a part of your life, it's probably a stronghold that needs to be dealt with. Another common stronghold that people face is through addictions. Many people are addicted to alcohol, drugs, tobacco, other chemicals, whatever it may be, even pharmaceutical drugs. Whatever it is, these addictions most of the time are produced by strongholds. And if you begin to drink or you begin to do drugs or some other kind of chemical thing, you're probably going to have a stronghold built up in your life. Have you ever wondered why so many people, including believers, seem to never be able to break free of addictions? They may overcome physical withdrawals. They may be clean for a little while. They may go through programs, but eventually they find themselves right back where they started, and most of the time even worse. One of the reasons for this is that the spiritual stronghold has never been destroyed. Is this you? As long as the stronghold remains, these addictions have the legal right to be in your life. The cords of your sins can be very strong, and they're not going to be broken by your own willpower. They have to be broken spiritually. You see, these and many other strongholds have the power to stifle your Christianity. If your Christianity is not victorious, it may be because of a spiritual stronghold. The good news is that there is hope. Paul teaches, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." That's in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. Strongholds must be pulled down by spiritual weapons. You cannot attack them with natural weapons of the flesh. They have to be dealt with spiritually. They cannot be defeated through the flesh, the methods of man, the self-will, none of this. No goals, no willpower, no making myself strong. It's not going to happen. They have to be broken spiritually. And you have to be ready to go to war in the spirit in order to see these things broken. War is part of a victorious Christian life. So put on your armor and fight. I really do hope that these things that have been mentioned have done two things. First of all, I hope that it has enlightened you maybe to some of the reasons why Christians struggle in the faith so much. They struggle with all these different things, all these different problems, and there may be any number of reasons, but we've mentioned four today. Could be that the person in question was never saved to begin with. Could be that the person was saved at one point in time, but they're a backslider now. It also could be that they've made an unholy alliance, or it could be that they have a stronghold in their life that simply prevents them from being victorious. The good news is that the Word of God has an answer to every single one of these problems. There's no problem that we're ever going to have that the Word of God does not have an answer for. If you are not saved, you can absolutely surrender your life to Jesus Christ, and you can be saved today. You surrender to Him entirely, give it all over to Him, let Him become the boss, let Him become the king, let Him become the ruler of your life, and you can be saved. If you're a backslider, you can bring your words to the Lord and repent before Him, fall on your face before Him and beg for mercy, and He is abundantly able to provide that mercy. If you made an unholy alliance, you can break the unholy alliance. You can make repentance to God, and you can ask Him for His forgiveness for making it, and then at that point in time, God will help you to have the grace to not only sever it completely, but able to overcome whatever has come into your life as a result of that unholy alliance. And if you have a stronghold, you can perform the spiritual warfare that God gives us the right to perform, and that there is no enemy that can overcome us as long as we are fighting in the faith and in the name of Jesus Christ, and we're doing so from a position of absolute surrender to the Lord. The Bible says, humble yourself before the mighty hand of God, and He will lift you up. So hopefully these things have not only brought some insights, but hopefully it's also brought hope. You may have gone through something, you may have been dealing with something for years, but this is the hope that you very well can be and will be victorious and overcome whatever it is that's in your life that's bothered you. You can overcome it. You can be victorious. You can walk above these things. You do not have to live in sin every day of your life. You can walk above it and be victorious in the name of Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank You for this time that we've had together today, and we pray by the name of Jesus Christ and by the power of Your Holy Spirit, we pray that people would be set free and delivered. They may be backsliders that need to repent. There may be people who are unsaved that need to surrender their lives to You. There may be people who've made unholy alliances that need to break them and surrender their lives to You again. There may be people who have stronghold in their life that need to have those strongholds broken down and torn down. But by the power of the name of Jesus Christ and the authority of the Holy Spirit, we pray that those things would begin to take place even while we're talking on the radio today. We give You praise and thanks, and we give You all the glory, because You are the one that's in control and You are the one that has the power to do these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we go, we'd like to thank you for listening to Speak to Me today. If you have never contacted us before here at Speak to Me, we have a special gift that we would like to send you through the mail. If you contact us by email, make sure to include your mailing address so that we can send it to you properly. Also, just so you know, you can download this message in MP3 format or a print version from our website, speaktomeradio.com. Again, thanks for listening. We hope you have a great week, and we hope you join us again next week for Speak to Me. May the Lord bless you.
Thank you for listening to Speak to Me with Billy Pruitt. If this program has ministered to you and you would like to pray with someone, or maybe you just need to talk to someone about your soul, give us a call at 407-731-9998. Again, that's 407-731-9998. You can also email us at info@speaktomeradio.com. Again, that's info@speaktomeradio.com. For a free copy of today's message, just visit our website, speaktomeradio.com. Again, thank you for listening to Speak to Me with Billy Pruitt. May the Lord bless you today, and have a great day.